We see in Matthew that they would assemble around Jesus and they would hear and be healed. They would hear and be healed. They would hear and be healed. We read in the Proverbs that if we'll just give attention to the Word of God, it will be life to all of your body and health to your flesh. All of your flesh. Just giving attention to the Word promotes healing. Just giving attention to His Word will cause healing to happen in your body. It's true. Thank you, Lord. Did you find Micah yet? Look at Micah 6. We're going to read verse 8. The Lord has told you what is good, and this is what He requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, that reveals to us that God requires us to walk with Him. So we need to understand what it means to walk with God. So this is part two. We launched it last week, called Walking with God. Now, I don't want to reteach anything. I'll just mention the points and where they are, and you can look them up later. Definitely go online and get part one. It's rich. It's absolutely rich. The first thing revealed here in Micah is that walking with God involves humility. Walk humbly with your God. You're not going to walk in pride with God. Second thing we looked at was walking with God involves His presence. We found out that when Adam and Eve sinned, then they heard God walking in the cool of the day, and they hid from the presence of God. So walking with God involves His presence. It's when He's in manifestation. We saw that walking with God involves being perfect. Wow. And He mentioned Noah. And it said in the New Living Translation that Noah was the only just and righteous man in his time. The only one out of all the people on the earth, Noah. One translation says he found grace in the sight of God. You know, grace isn't mentioned that often in the Old Testament. That's a New Testament big word. We're going to talk about it today. That's the big word, I would say. People say, no, 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 it's love. Love is to you by grace. Okay, grace is the big word. Pull up Hebrews 10:14, and I want to read it in the Passion Translation. And by His one perfect sacrifice, He made us perfectly holy and complete for all time. The best news you ever heard in your life is right there. That is the best news, because that's what's required to walk with God. Perfection. Well, Jesus satisfied the requirement for perfection. God sees us like He sees Jesus. Perfect. As He is, so are we in this world, right? 1 John 4:17. We are righteous. But that's the requirement. Because sometimes if you say, well, it's required that you be perfect, people that are thinking religiously are like, oh, no. Oh, I rolled to the stop sign. Oh, you're perfect. I didn't say your conduct is perfect. You're perfect in your spirit. You're perfect as far as God is concerned. And there is nothing you can do to change how God sees you. I must needs to say that again. There is nothing you can do to change how God sees you. We see what we did. We see the reflection in the mirror. We know we messed up. We know our intentions, right? We know our own heart. And we tend to judge ourselves accordingly. God judges us according to what Jesus did. And that's it. Oh, I could just about get happy. And I'm not even into the new stuff. Here we go. We're just talking about walking with God. Walking with God involves faith. We saw that with Enoch, that by faith he was translated. He got his rapture by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God must have told him there's going to be a rapture. Hebrews 11:5 says, By faith, he was taken. God must have told him. Whose faith? God's faith? Enoch's faith. Then it goes on to say, but without faith, it's impossible. So that's the bookends to the story of Enoch. Enoch walked with God. And in the New Living Translation, it said he walked in close fellowship with God. The word walk, we can just pull it up on the overhead. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Most of you know it. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So we're not talking about a physical walking. We're talking about a faith walk. And this word walk means to tread around, to live. And I like this definition, deport oneself. Deport oneself. So if you find yourself in the wrong location, deport yourself back there. Now, go over to Amos. Got to read it again. Amos chapter 3. That's where your pages are all stuck together in your Bible there. In verse 3, it says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Now, this is central to this series right here. Can two walk together? When I would read that, I often thought of the unity of the body, that the body needed to be unified. And so I'm thinking of more of a horizontal relationship. And then it hit me, just boom, right there. I cannot even walk with God unless I agree with Him. And let me tell you this, God is not going to agree with you. That's what a lot of people do. They come up with an idea and they go, God, please be in agreement with me. Bless my plans. He's not going to do that. He knows what He knows, and He's right, and it's not changing. So we need to find out what that is and agree with it. All the agreements got to happen on our side of the covenant. If two of you on earth will agree. Now we think of people getting together in prayer. I can agree with the Holy Ghost. He's in me. He's on the earth, right? He knows what God said, right? That's what I do. I agree with His Word. His Word is on the earth. And I agree with the Holy Spirit. You know what I think is going to happen with the rapture? Let me say this first. God cannot leave you. Not only will He not leave you, He can't. He cannot leave you unless you command Him to go, which would be a terrible mistake. I don't know anybody's ever done that. So in order to walk with God, I must agree with Him. This is the central thing, as I said. Now, walking with God involves walking in newness of life. We looked at Romans 6, verse 4. Walking with God is walking in the Spirit. And we'll elaborate on that a little bit more. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, walking in the Spirit. I remember teaching this in the Key to Learning, the school. Basically have 6 youth groups, aging from 6th grade to 12th grade. And this is vague to a lot of people. Walking in the Spirit, you know, they might be thinking that you're half invisible and you just kind of, look at Pastor Wade, he's over there in the Spirit, you know. No, walking in the Spirit is very specific, and we'll look at what that means. But I want to point something out. In Romans chapter 8, did you know that Romans 8 is my favorite chapter? It is. It's awesome. And it starts off with the verse we're about to read. Verse 1, there is therefore now. Say now. This is a now word for this church. This is a now word for all of us. Here it is. A now word. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And you could say that is those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, as I used to read this, I would think of the flesh. You're just fleshing out. You're just letting your body do whatever it wants to do, going and getting drunk or whatever. You know what I mean? That just fleshing out. But I want to point out to you that walking in the flesh is self-effort. It's when we're trying to do things to merit what God has already given you. That is flesh. I'm not to walk that way. I am to walk according to the Spirit. The Spirit part of me is the part of me that is perfect. And I'm to walk accordingly. So I'm not walking around being perfect in my conduct to be perfect. I'm walking around doing righteous things because I am righteous. It is a fruit of who God has made me. That's who I am. I'm not what I do. That's the issue for a lot of people, is identity. They're trying to earn identity. Man, if you're doing that, we all come short of the glory or the opinion of God. All of us do, right? All of us will come short. You're going to live in condemnation if you're trying to do it that way, because you're never going to be good enough. So what do? We give up. We say, Jesus, thank you. I don't know how this whole thing worked, but I'll take it by faith. And God is pleased. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So we accept what He did for us, right? Now, there is therefore now, how much condemnation? No condemnation. None. The word condemnation means an adverse sentence or verdict. The root of that is to judge against. I want you to think about when we take communion. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. What are people doing? They're judging themselves according to the flesh. And it's deadly. We're to judge ourselves according to the Spirit. That's what we're talking about, right? It's a verdict. And I want to say this. Karen and I were having a conversation about this the other day. Religion produces condemnation. And it's subtle. It's sneaky. And you don't realize these little corners in the back of your thinking where you were thinking this way. Because you thought that way for so many years. I'm finding out those grave clothes we talked about, Lazarus coming out, those grave clothes, that's the religion. Man's alive, he's been resurrected, but he's wrapped up in tradition and law. We got to get all of that off of us. And I'm in a process of seeing how much of this is there. This says there is therefore no condemnation. None. You know what the word no means? None. Nada. Didn't say nada in the Greek, but nada. None. No condemnation. And I would suggest to each of us, this is to me, that whatever degree of condemnation that happens in my life, that degree is still religious. Because there shouldn't be any. Now, sometimes we have remorse. We have what the Bible calls godly sorrow. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you feel like, wow, I could have done so much better. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Now go over to Romans chapter 5. Religion will take Romans 5 and they will come away with so much law. I don't know how they do it, other than there's some demonic help. You have to have help misunderstanding this. But keep this in the context of what we're looking at right here. Romans 5, look at verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. That's an amazing statement right there. Until the law came, the accounting charge of sin was not against you. It couldn't be until there was law. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. So death was in the world, okay? Even according to those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift, say gift, free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Ooh. And the gift, say gift, is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in what? In what? Condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses, resulted in what? Justification. Okay, so we're seeing an absolute parallel being drawn, and they're opposites. If we're seeing condemnation, then we're doing it the old way. We are justified, but you need to sense it. I want to walk in that confidence. That's the only way you're coming to the throne of grace boldly, which he told us to do, right? The only way you're coming boldly is you know you belong there. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness. So righteousness and justification, those words are interchangeable, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. I don't see how you could come away with any other conclusion. It baffles me how religion spins that into law and obligating us to perform. I get indignant, can you tell? Go over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Look at verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Most of the time I read that, I'm thinking of all kinds of sexual stuff. Because of the word lust, we use that almost exclusively for sexual immorality or that whole category of stuff. But, you know, you can lust for a cheeseburger. I have. A lot. It just means a strong desire. Now watch this. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now remember, before the law came, sins were not imputed. Jesus came and satisfied the law. That is now taken away. So sin, the category, is no longer imputed. You no longer owe the debt for it, where there is no law. Thank you, Jesus. So, I have a bullet for you. We are not to perform for the acceptance of the Father, which we already have. Ephesians 1, verse 6 says, you are accepted in the Beloved. It couldn't be any clearer. You are already accepted. Why? Because of Jesus. You are accepted. Why? Because Jesus is accepted. And we're in Him. Amen? We're in the Beloved. Now, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So the thing I wanted to talk to you about is, if you sense condemnation in your life, don't just worry about the condemnation. That's a symptom of something legalistic in your thinking. So what do? Go find that and deal with that. And the condemnation will go away. The Lord deals with us in layers, and I'm so glad He does, because I would have hated to have been born again and then the Lord hand me a list of everything that has to change. Yeah, this is everything that's jacked up about you. I mean, do we raise our kids that way? I mean, when they're born, they're completely dependent on us, aren't they? They will die if we don't feed them and give them water. And do we beat up on them when they don't walk, trying to take a couple steps, and they fall on the ground? You dumb baby. Is that how we act? Of course not. We encourage them. Wow, that was amazing what you just did. You just took two steps. That's awesome. God is better than any earthly dad. Are you hearing me? And I want you to know, you're in a lot better condition than you know. That's what this message is all about, is to inform you you're in a much better condition than you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Did I tell you to go there? I didn't tell you? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Now, does that make more sense than it ever has? What can we earn? We have to stop trying to earn anything. Verse 6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter kills, the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of what? Death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious. What is that? That's the Ten Commandments. That's called the ministry of death. The ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? See, if we try to do it the old way, we're only going to experience death. Are you hearing me? Verse 9, for if the ministry of what? There it is. The letter produces death, and condemnation is one of the deaths. You realize death has many different forms. Many different forms. It's the opposite of life. Amen? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of what? Righteousness exceeds much more in glory. So I want to share with you that righteousness, the righteousness that you now possess, ministers to you. It called it the ministry of righteousness. It ministers to you an assurance that you're right with God. It ministers to you. If you're not sure, stop and ask. Say, Lord, I need the righteousness that you gave me to minister to me. And he will. The law requires from us. That's performance. And you can never do enough. You can never do it right. And the reason I'm saying this, even if we have one little corner in the back of our thinking, the person that tries to do it that way, you have to do it all. And you have to do it all flawlessly. And you can't. But grace supplies us. So the law takes from us. Grace gives to us. We read it in Romans 5. How many times did I have you say gift? It's a gift. Isn't it a gift, Larry? It's a gift. That means you don't earn it. I'll talk to this Larry then. Okay. Larry, if I said, hey, I've got a gift for you. I want to give you this gift. And let's say it was a Ford. Okay. Here you go. Here's a Ford F-350 dually. Are you happy about that? Okay. It's a gift. It's a gift. I'm going to give this to you. A 93. Okay. Well, you're going to have a 2019. Okay. So here we go. I'm trying to get lavish here. Okay. So I got this gift for you. And I say, now here's what I need you to do, Larry. I need you to come over, and we got about 2 acres that need mowing. And if you could do that through the summer, I'm going to give you that truck. Is that a gift? Is that a gift? That is not a gift. That becomes a wage. He's performing a service for a wage. That's different. That's not what we're to do. Grace is a gift, and it said over and over, free gift, no strings attached. It's a free gift. So why would we try to earn what we already have? Can I say that again? Why would I try to earn what I already have? It already belongs to me. Why am I trying to earn healing? Why am I trying to earn righteousness so I can feel better about myself? That's the flesh. It's self-effort. It's self-effort. All right. So we're going to switch gears. We're going to go to communion. And I tell you, I'm getting such revelation about communion. And so I want to ask you a question. I took John communion today. I went to the hospital and got my little communion kit out and unsweet tea, and he didn't like that too much. But anyway, he said, just give me a little bit. But he took it. It was good. He let me know. Don't fill it up. You know. So anyway, the blood represents the new covenant, right? And it represents the forgiveness of sins. The body represents healing. By his stripes we're healed. All of this happened in the same exchange when he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of him in Christ, right? So the blood, okay, the blood of the new covenant. When do we get forgiven? At the cross. We got forgiven then. Right? So why do we say that God is going to heal me now? When did we get healed? At the cross. The same time. It's the same. The question is when? When? When did he heal you? So why am I asking God to give me what I already have? If I went to Larry and said, Larry, can I borrow that 2019 F-350 dually that I just gave you that you had to work for. I need to borrow that. And so he goes ahead and gives me the keys and says, go ahead, go out there and drive it. And then I come back to him in 10 minutes. Hey, can I borrow it? Can I borrow it? He's already said yes, right? He's already given it to me to use. Amen? So why are we asking God? All the promises are what? Yes and amen. So I want Miss Karen to come up. She had some revelation too about this. So we're going to go ahead and take communion together. You're going to grab the elements, and then I'll lead you guys in a confession while we're doing that. We see from this teaching that we need to agree with God. So I want you to agree with the fact that you're already healed. Agree with the fact that you're already righteous. You're already justified. We're not trying to get there. We're there. Amen? Don't agree with your symptoms. I don't feel healed. Agree with God. Agree with God. Agree with Him. Let's say this together. I choose to agree with God. Therefore, I am healed. And I am righteous in God because of Christ. Praise God. Now, Miss Karen's going to share a little bit, too.
A few years ago, my sister was struggling with migraines and some things that were going on and had heard from somebody on TV. But anyways, what he talked about was, this is the meal that heals. Think about it. His body, broken for me. The pastor said, I receive that. I receive what he did, and I leave my sickness, that sickness, not mine, but that sickness on the cross. It's an exchange. But this is the meal that heals. And we were listening to a teaching recently, and Creflo Dollar had made this comment. And he came through cancer, had a big problem. He took communion 3 times a day. How many times are you going to take your pills? The meal that heals. Think about this. It's not just communion. There's something you're going to make an exchange. So if you got something going on, when I had talked to Pastor the other day, and I was leaving their house, and that's what I saw too. And I said, okay, how do I explain this? And the Lord said, when you come up and you take your bread and you put it in the what had already been done for me, leave what you don't want. Got some poverty? Leave it. Put it on the cross. Everything went with this. It's called the meal that heals. Just ponder it a little bit and ask the Lord what it means to you. It meant a lot to me a couple years ago. And I went through some stuff and I just sat in my chair. And Pastor was sending people to give me communion, and I'm doing it too. And I mean, and I came through that year. And it was. And you can do it by yourself at home. But this is the meal that heals. Because Jesus said that, put me, remember what he did. We're taking this to remember what he did. What did he do for me? He took the cross. What did he do for me? He took everything. There's nothing that's happening to any of us that he didn't already do. He didn't already put it there. Leave it. Leave it there. And if you got to keep going back, then keep going back. Because this is the meal that heals.
Amen. Well, ushers, if you'll go ahead and start directing folks up, we'll do it the same way.